As I mentioned last week, we were looking at God's promises in five different areas. And Ben will bring those up real quick. But the area of salvation, the area of spiritual growth, the area of ministry, the area of giving, and in our trials. And what we did is, in each one of those areas, we took some scriptures, scriptural promises, and then we interspersed it with testimonies from God's people, showing how God was faithful to fulfill those promises in their lives. It was intended, and I believe it was, based on the feedback, to be an encouragement to the body of Christ. Because if you pick up the newspaper, you don't always get a lot of encouraging news. You turn on the news, you don't get a lot of encouraging news. You surf the net, you don't get a lot of encouraging news. Instead, what we hear is another drop in the number of jobs. We see another problem with the economy and the stock market. We see a world unraveling. We just see so much stuff. And God wants to encourage us. I mean, we know that, having just finished the series in Revelation a couple weeks ago, that it gets darkest before the dawn. But God wants us to know that we don't just have a promise in the sweet by and by, that there are some promises available in the here and now that God calls us to lay hold of, to live in light of. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go perfect in your life. It just means that God's presence, as we've heard today, God's presence will walk with you in the midst of those difficulties, and his promises are still available. Now, what I want to do is build on last week's message. If we could look at last week's message as what the promises are, today I want to look at how do we lay hold of those? How do we access those promises in our life? And so if you'd stand with me, please, we want to read just a couple of verses from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul declares, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." This last week, I received an email from my son David. He informed me that the cross-country team that he runs on at Houghton College was going to be putting in a shoe order. And since it's 40% off retail, that's a pretty good deal. But he needed me to transfer money over to his account to be able to purchase those shoes. So I went by the bank and took some money out, went down the street to Community Bank. Fortunately, we have a Community Bank here, and he's got a branch office in Houghton. So I just walked in. I said, "Hi, I need to put this money in my son's account." There's his name. They said, "No problem." I didn't even have an account number. They said, "We got him," and they put the money in. Now, the reason I share this story is that when I went to the bank, I went to MBT Bank, I went through the drive-thru ATM, and I popped my card in. And the moment I put it in, it asks me to enter something. It wants my PIN, my access code. And the moment that I inputted that access code, all of the money in my account became available to be able to withdraw what I'd need for whatever I have to purchase. In a similar way, there is an access code that God, a PIN that God has given believers to be able to access his promise account. And that PIN is F-A-I-T-H. Faith, and Ben will bring that up. Our PIN is faith. Now, why would I say that? Because in our text in Romans chapter 1, three times in two verses, the Apostle Paul tells us about believing or faith. He says that the gospel is available to everyone who believes. Not that they have to work for it, not that they have to earn it, but believes. And then he says that in the gospel there's a righteousness that is from first to last by faith. And then he quotes from the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, and he says, "The just," or the righteous, "shall live by faith." From Paul's understanding and perspective of the gospel, this baby is a gospel of faith. Faith is the PIN that accesses God's promises. Now, if that's true, if we were to go back through a few of those promises from last week, those five areas, then we should expect to see faith having a role in it. And that's precisely what we find. First of all, you remember John 3:16. We looked at that one, one of the most familiar verses in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Over in chapter 10 of Romans, verse 9, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Bottom line, those promises related to salvation are accessed by faith. Well, what about spiritual growth? We know that we enter this thing by faith. Is the rest by faith? Paul told us from first to last, so we ought to expect that we should see faith involved in the rest. And that's exactly what we do. For example, in the promises related to spiritual growth, how about Romans 5, 1 and 2? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Not just the grace that saves us, but the grace wherein we stand, where we live, by faith. By faith. Now, one of the things that we have to recognize that this faith thing that God gave us up a little bit earlier, we didn't look at it, but Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, God designed it in such a way that it's faith, because the one who comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So we shouldn't be surprised that faith works its way out through everything. Paul strengthens this argument about faith in regard to spiritual growth in Galatians 2:20 when he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This life that we have, you don't start by faith and finish it with works. You start by faith and you finish by faith. He is the author and perfecter of your faith. From first to last, it's by faith. Faith is the access code, at least for salvation and spiritual growth. What about ministry? Acts 3:16. In Acts 3, Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. About 3 in the afternoon, they pass by, and there at one of the beautiful gate is a lame man. They look at him, they tell him, hey, look at us. He expects to get some money. They look back. They said, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They grab him, his feet, his ankles begin to strengthen. Next thing you know, he's having a dance going on in the temple. He's praising God. And all the people start gathering around because they knew Gimpy. And now Gimpy is dancing. He's a jumping and a dancing before the Lord. He's doing what we sang about today. And they're like, oh my goodness. And Peter and John say, whoa, don't look at us as if we did it in our righteousness. No. It was faith in Jesus' name that made this man well. Faith in Jesus' name. Over in Mark chapter 11, in regard to prayer, Jesus said that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. By faith. In Hebrews 11:32-34, there's a section, Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith anyhow, but in that section, the writer of Hebrews has been listing individually all these cool things that people did by faith. And then finally gets to the point, look, I don't have enough time to go further. I mean, there's Samson, there's Gideon, there's Samuel, there's David, there's Deborah. I just can't get them all. But let me tell you what they did. By faith. By faith, they conquered kingdoms. By faith, they administered justice. By faith, they closed the mouths of lions. By faith, they quenched the fires. By faith, again and again, all that they did in ministry was by faith in the living God. Faith is the access code. It is the PIN for believers, made available to the church to access God's promises. All right, Pastor, I think you've got me convinced on salvation, spiritual growth, and ministry, but what about giving? Well, earlier in Hebrews 11, there's a section where it says that Abraham, by faith, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. You may remember the account. God provided Abraham and Isaac with a baby. That baby grew up, and then God says, Abraham, here's what I want you to do with Isaac. I want you to put him on the altar. I want you to go to a place I'm going to tell you. I want you to offer him on the altar to me. your one and only kid, you got to put him on the altar. Abraham gets everything ready, heads over to the mountain, tells the guy that's helping him, hey, stay here, we'll be back, goes up to the mountain. He gets the wood ready, he takes Isaac, puts him on there, and he's about ready to stab him with a knife. And then God says, whoa, Abraham, hold it. Now I know you love me more. You love me more than your kid. Now what Hebrews does is it interprets it for us, and what it says is that Abraham believed, basically, that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead if that's what was required. So he wasn't afraid to offer him because he believed in the promises of God. How does that apply to us? Every time that offering plate comes by, it's a faith thing. Unless, of course, you just want to throw in a few bucks. If you're poor, a couple bucks is a lot. But if you have a job, a couple bucks doesn't require faith. It just requires you emptying your wallet or your pocket, throwing in some loose change. But if we take seriously sacrificial giving, if we take seriously giving, you know, a minimum of 10% from the Old Testament and beyond in the New, and you put that in the plate, what you're saying is, God, I'm going to trust by faith that I can do better with 90% trusting you than 100% trusting me. That's faith. I'm giving away money, believing that I'll do better with what's left than if I had hoarded all of it myself. Talk about faith. Every time you give, it's by faith. So what about trials? There's a great account in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 20, where Jehoshaphat, good king, king of Judah, gets word that all these armies are going to come up and try to defeat him. As far as the sand on the seashore, just a lot of people. And Jehoshaphat starts shaking in his boots, and he does a smart thing. He calls for a prayer rally. He gathers them together, and they just start storming God and praying to God and saying, God, we can't do this on our own. We need you, God. We're trusting you. We're believing in you. And then the Spirit of God hits one of those Levites, and they jump up and begin to prophesy this victory. And Jehoshaphat, encouraged by that, says to the people in 2 Chronicles 20:20, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Translate that. You're going through a trial, Judah. You're going through a tough time, Judah. But don't trust yourself. Trust in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. So it doesn't matter the trial you and I are going through today. We are called by faith to trust him. Did you get the point that it's faith? Have I made that point clear yet? By faith, salvation. By faith, spiritual growth. By faith, ministry. By faith, giving. By faith, trials. Faith is, F-A-I-T-H, the access code. Well, Pastor, that sounds really good. Where do I go get that faith? I mean, is that like, you know, 4 Cracker Jacks box tops and 25 cents? How do I get this? Last time I went to Walmart, Eileen didn't know where the faith aisle was, so I'm not sure I could find it. How do I get faith? Well, here's the good news. Faith comes from God as a gift. In Romans 12:3, Paul says, through the grace given unto me, I tell you not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. As God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And this whole thing, grace saved by faith, is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, how do I get that faith? Well, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's as if what happens is that the word of God goes forth and the Spirit of God takes that word and begins to stir up an ability to believe God for that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, allowing you to believe, to trust God. But faith may come as a gift from God, but it gets strengthened and enlarged by our use. Now, how do I know that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul tells the church that he was hoping that his realm of ministry would be able to be enlarged from them as a base as their faith keeps growing. The level of faith you have today does not have to be the same level of faith tomorrow. You can grow in faith. Now, how do we do that? Well, Romans 10:17, let's come back to it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which seems to imply that the more I spend in his word, hiding his word in my heart, meditating on his word, reflecting on his word, letting his word saturate my life, then instead of focusing on what I see, I begin to focus on what I'm hearing him say. We want to be saturated. So convinced am I that we need this, that next year, and we've already sent out a letter to you letting you know this, but just as a recap on this, next year we're going to go through as a congregation the entire New Testament and read through it together. Every week you'll have a set of scriptures between 3 and 6 chapters that you will read. That Sunday we will be preaching on that particular text that you're going to read. You're going to have small groups that you can take part in that will reinforce that. There will be devotions on the internet on our website that will reinforce the lesson for your family. We want you saturated with the Word of God. We want you saturated because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you and I spend that time hearing and meditating and reflecting on the Word, we begin to get hold of and lay hold of the promises-keeping God. So that's one way that your faith can be strengthened. Another way, and you may not like this one, you may go back and prefer the first one, is that God will strengthen your faith by putting you into a place where you have to exercise your faith muscles. They're called trials. It's the trial gymnasium. It's a faith gymnasium. You go in there, and what happens is God places you in a place where you are required to trust him. Abraham was in this. God gave Abraham a promise at 75 years of age that God did not fulfill in Abraham's life till Abraham was 100. And it says in the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 20, that Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but being strengthened in his faith, gave glory to God. Sometimes we get frustrated that God doesn't give us what we think we need when we think we need it. Next message, I'm going to hit the fact that God sometimes will post-date his checks because there's some things he wants you to learn in the interim. But let me just anticipate this by saying, if God always gave you everything you want when you want it instead of when you need it, it will destroy you. It's been said that a lot of people, when they hit the lottery big, which, by the way, I do not recommend wasting your money, it's better to invest in the kingdom than it is to invest in the lottery. Better rate of return. But if you invest in a lottery, don't do it, but if someone does, what they found is winners within 2 to 5 years are bankrupt because they don't know what to do. It's different from what they're used to doing. God knows what we need when we need it. And there are times that God will place you where you are required to do those faith pull-ups, those faith leg lifts, those faith biceps and triceps, because God's building you up. Those are the two ways that I know, and there may be others, but those are the two main ways. Is that as you hide the word of God in your heart, God will then say, okay, now we're going to have you take what you've just learned and apply it. You were in the classroom and you learned the word. Now we're going to put you in the laboratory and have you practice the word until that promise has been so permeating in you that you know that you know that you know, and you give glory to God and God fulfills his promise. Now, this idea of strengthening by use brings us to our third and final point this morning. And that is that if you and I are going to lay hold by faith, we know it's faith, we know God gives it as a gift, and then it can be strengthened, but here's the deal. The faith we're talking about is not passive belief, but active faith. Not passive belief, but active faith. What's the difference, Pastor? Well, James tells us in chapter 2 of James that faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead. Wait a minute, Pastor, you said that faith saves us. I do believe that. Martin Luther, I think, is the one that says, faith alone saves, but faith that saves is never alone. What James will argue is that if you genuinely have faith, you will do something and act on it. He'll put, in that passage of chapter 2, he'll say, Abraham had faith, but Abraham had faith enough to put Isaac on the altar. It wasn't just, yeah, I believe. No, I believe enough to act on this. Faith without works is dead. Putting it another way, if you have the root of faith, it leads to the fruit of works. You have to have the root of faith, because the works without the root means nothing. They're dead works. But genuine faith, and if you doubt me on this, sometime when you get a chance, simply read through Hebrews 11 and see how many times faith is described as simply something they thought versus something they did. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham went to a promised land that he didn't know where it was. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac on the altar. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Jacob blessed his sons. Faith, biblical faith, always has an action to it. Biblical faith is more than just mere assent. James tells us this: the devils have passive belief. They believe there's one God. In fact, they do better than atheists do. They have right doctrine. Atheists don't even have right doctrine. There's no God. And demons are like, are you nuts? Of course there's a God. They're a leg up on the atheists. They believe there's a God. And not only do they have an intellectual assent, they're emotionally moved by it. The devils believe there's one God and tremble. But it never translates into active faith. They never do anything with it. You could sit here today and go, wow, I believe that. That's faith. And you could sit there and say, man, I got the Holy Ghost goosebumps. I'm motivated. And walk out the door and do absolutely nothing with what we've talked about, and you won't have faith. You might have an emotional charge. You might have an intellectual assent. But without the action on that, then you have not walked in biblical faith. So we want to challenge you. It is a faith step. Jesus over in Mark chapter 11 says, have faith in God in verse 22. Have faith in God. And then he says that if you have faith, you can say to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea. You have faith, you do something with it. Now, I recognize I came into faith in Christ right around the time that the faith movement was beginning to develop. And the faith movement was the idea that you got to trust God by faith, you got to speak faith, you got to do all this stuff in faith. In fact, everything I've preached to this point, they would probably applaud. But where they went off base is they substituted their greed for God's glory. And it became more about what I claim for me than what I claim for thee. That caddy, that house, this, that, and it became all about what they wanted instead of what God desired. But just because they missed it doesn't mean we toss out a message of faith. Just because they drank the bathwater doesn't mean we throw out the baby. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies when it comes to accessing the promises of God. Because instead of speaking faith, we walk in unbelief. God calls us to a faith confession, a faith declaration. Now, does that mean that I can't ever confess that there's a problem? No, look at Abraham. It says that Abraham faced the fact, I'm 100 and she ain't looking much better. But being not weak in faith, he still gave glory to God and was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So what we're talking about is, Lord, I know what I see, and I can acknowledge what I see, but I choose to believe what you say instead of what I see. I put my faith in you, Lord, and in your promises. I'm healthy enough to say there's a problem here, but I'm full of faith enough to say you are the answer to the problem that I see here. This is what Abraham did. It doesn't matter how old this thing gets. It doesn't matter how many years it takes. I could be 242, and there is a kid that's going to come from my wife because God promised it, and God is faithful to his promises. Carla waited over 3 decades for a promise to be fulfilled in her mother's life and in her father's life. But there came a point where mom and dad fell to their knees and says, yes, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. And they are in heaven today because she refused to let that promise go. Now, I'm sharing this with you not just because it's some kind of ethereal thing or some kind of discussion among intellectuals and theologians in some ivory tower. We are living in a time where faith is required to see God finish what he has started in this valley. We have started a building that is not yet finished. And sometimes what will happen is we begin to speak unbelief over it. It'll never happen. I don't think it's ever going to happen. You think it's, and we begin to speak death over the thing instead of life. God has spoken this thing. We didn't manufacture that. We didn't just out of the blue go, hey, you know what? Here's a good idea. Let's build a building. We sought God on this, and we've had the promises of God. We've watched him provide. We watched grants come through that we didn't expect. We watched matching monies come in that we didn't expect. We watched God open doors. So I'm here to stand here and tell you, I believe God is able to finish what he has started. God gave us promises about this valley. He gave us promises about hope, healing, and wholeness spilling over from one end of this valley to the other. I can tell you what I see, and it isn't there yet, but I tell you what I believe is I believe what God says about the situation. And so therefore, I want to get a hold of that. I want to lay hold of the promise of God and begin to speak life over this valley and not death. I want to speak hope and not despair. I want to speak encouragement and not discouragement. That God, I know what I see, but I believe there is a promise coming. I believe there's awakening coming. And it's not just that my saying it makes it so to speak, but my saying it unlocks God, because faith is the access code that unlocks the power of God to break into a situation. And that's what we want to walk in. That's what we want to declare. Whether it be over the valley or your own family, we want to begin to speak it out in faith. Because God calls things that are not as though they are. That's in it. Romans chapter 4 passage. Think about this. God shows up to Abraham when he's 99 and says, Abe, I got good news. This time next year, your wife's going to have a kid. How many months is next year this time? 12. How long does it take for a baby to go from conception to birth? So God calls the baby into existence a year before it is born and 3 months before the sperm and the egg unite. And he not only calls into existence, he gives it a name, Isaac. You shall call his name Isaac. God called things that are not as though they are. God spoke it into the spiritual realm and it manifested in the physical realm. So God wants us to step into his realm, to get a hold of his promises, get a hold of his vision, not for selfish desire, not to glorify ourselves, but to get a hold of the Spirit of God who will speak a word into your heart, a word of promise, a word of hope, something that he's saying to you, I want you to lay hold of that, and I don't want you to let go until I bless you. I want you to hold on to that promise, and I will fulfill it in your life for my glory. And I want you to begin to massage it in faith. I want you to begin to declare it in faith. I want you to step into my power of my spirit and as I lead you, declare this that I'm going to do in your midst. It's faith that is the pin. The faith is already given to you, a measure of faith. So strengthen it. Reflect, meditate, dwell on the Word of God. In the trials, start practicing and developing faith muscles. I can tell you this, when you start, it's going to hurt. Because your faith out of shape. Ah! Ah! you're going to want to quit. But if you give God time, he will turn you into a woman or man of faith that has an unshakable confidence in the power and person of God. Let him develop in you that ability to believe him for the miraculous, for what he wants to do, because that's what he needs of us, to strengthen that faith. And then as he does it, you step out in faith and act on it. You may blow it a few times. It's okay. His grace is sufficient. But step out in faith. Step out in faith. And watch what God will do. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, God, for promises. Very great and precious promises. Very great and precious promises. So that through them we can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Thank you that no matter how many promises you have made, they are yes and amen in Christ. And Lord, so many times in this valley, there is almost that spirit of defeat and discouragement where we just wonder. But Lord, we ask that today would begin the birthing process of women and men and children and teens of faith. That this would be a birthing, a nursery for faith here, Lord. As you begin to stir hearts to believe, God, for some that believed and quit because they didn't see the promise, that, Lord, you would stir within them again a desire to get back into the faith gym and let you finish getting them in shape to believe you for what you want to do in this valley. Thank you, Father.